You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now is the time to secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets at the best prices available in the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Very happy to bring in via the Ohio Business Machines hotline with us right now from cleveland.com, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She covers the Browns. Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, welcome.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
We've kind of, you know, taken a poll here of those who are of the mind that this has just been way too long waiting on this draft. Are you in that club too?
I really am. Boy, oh boy. It feels like training camp is about to start already next week and we haven't had the draft yet.
Yeah, it's and I think it's worn down the conversation or ramped it up maybe in false ways sometimes where people have just gotten, and this is where I wanted to start with you, the quarterback discussion, and you've I know, tracked pretty closely this notion of the Browns' specific interest in Derek Carr, and as you well know, there's been supposedly specific interest in Johnny Manziel, specific interest in Blake Bortles, and, you know, it depends on which day, but give me a sense of where you are now with that particular angle. I think you also had the report, or we saw somewhere regarding David Carr maybe even being signed his brother to be a backup if the Browns ended up drafting Derek. But walk us through what you know about that right now.
Well, first of all, yeah, I did have a chance to talk to David yesterday, and I will be doing like a bigger feature before the draft just on the two of them and how Derek used to actually break down film with David when he was 11 years old. So some cool stuff in there, but... and David did mention that, hey, if the Browns do draft Derek, they have talked to me about possibly coming in as a backup. Now, will that really happen or will it not? We have no idea. But, you know, kind of some interesting fodder leading up to the draft. As far as who the Browns will take, I have heard all along that they really probably weren't going to go the Johnny Manziel route. Now, that could be, once again, just a smokescreen, but I haven't gotten a really strong sense that they will go with Johnny Manziel at number four. Again, if they do, I won't be shocked, but that's kind of just a little back-channel word that I get. As far as any of the other guys, you know, I do kind of like the Derek Carr idea, and I don't have a problem with taking him at number four whatsoever. I feel that if you like the guy, you might as well go ahead and take them. And I've been consistently saying that, you know, ever since I first started picking him at, you know, in early April for the Browns. So I'm still fine with that there. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world that they could do. It'll be interesting because they could have all of the top quarterbacks available to them. And in that scenario, what would they do? I don't really know how they feel about a Blake Bortles. Would they take him over a Derek Carr? Not really sure. But I don't know. I mean, if I had to guess, I don't think they're going to go Johnny Manziel.
Speaking with Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and, of course, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, do you get a sense of possible trades for the Browns on draft day right now, what that market could be, what it could look like, and if that's a direction that you think the team is leaning in, maybe moving down from number four?
You know, I guess I could see that happening, but I think they're more likely to probably – stay there because there are enough impact players that you should be able to get a guy that you really like at number four and not mess around with it too much. But if you have three, four guys that you really like that are left on the board at that spot and you know you can get one of them at six and the Atlanta Falcons come calling, then, you know, why not take that chance? We know that the Falcons are very aggressive and they like to do things, and it's currency to Tom Dimitroff. And, you know, obviously we remember the trade that netted them, Julio Jones. And, so, yes, I do think that it is a good possibility that the Browns will have some good offers that day and that they might do it if they don't have to go back too far.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford via the Ohio Business Machines hotline. Mary Kay, the Browns extend Phil Taylor's contract, that pick up that fifth-year extension, and in light of the conversation that also involves other contract talks. Joe Haden trying to get something done with him. He addressed that a little bit yesterday. How do you see the overall dynamic? Because this is obviously significant to make sure you have Phil Taylor tied up, a good young defensive lineman. But in the broader sense of how they're dealing with all of these contract issues, what's your sense?
Well, first of all, you know, I think it's good that they went ahead and exercised the option on Phil. I think he's just kind of hitting his stride, really. And, you know, he's had a number of different defenses, but I think he'll fare well in Mike Pettine's scheme. So I think it was good that they went ahead and did that. You need to take care of your own guys. I would much rather see them do that than try to go out on the free agent market and sign other teams, basically their cast-offs. I think it's good for the Browns that Joe Haden really would like to get something done. If you can get Joe done, other guys fall in line after that. You know, then you see the Josh Gordons doing something and the Jordan Cameron. So, you know, you still have the good nucleus of this team right now. You've got your Pro Bowlers, and, you know, you'd like to get them wrapped up for the long haul, and I think that's a good sign for this team.
What is the latest on the Joe Haden situation as you understand it?
You know, all I know is that talks are ongoing. It's Drew Rosenhaus, which is the same for Josh Gordon. And, you know, those are never going to be easy. And then you've got Richard Sherman, who is in contract negotiations, you know, right now, too. So I'm sure that that Drew Rosenhaus will be keeping an eye on what happens there. But as of right now, just they're still talking. I know that they had some conversations at the owners' meeting. I saw Drew there, and you know, he just said that they're still continuing to talk, and nothing ready to happen yet, but Joe wants it done, and so do the Browns, so that's good.
I think it's a huge thing to get done, and, you know, just your sense in talking with him yesterday, I thought he handled it pretty well. I thought he came off, because a lot of times these are such thorny topics, and a player will be asked about something, and you got that vibe. I think, of course, maybe it was later in the season from a T.J. Ward where he, I think, saw this thing going the direction it would eventually go with him leaving the Browns. I think with Haden, he seems to have a positive, upbeat sense. I know that's also his personality, but if you're not feeling good about the contractual situation, a lot of times that'll come out in your body language and what you say. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and I also do 100% agree that personality has a lot to do with it. Joe Haden has a great attitude. He's always been an upbeat, positive guy. And you look at a guy like Peyton Hillis, who had, you know, he was a little troubled. And when it came to contract time, it basically took him under. I mean, he could not handle the contract situation. He just wasn't emotionally equipped to deal with that. That is absolutely not the case with Joe. And I really honestly believe that even if it doesn't get done exactly at the moment Joe or Drew would like it to, it is not going to ruin Joe's season. I think he'll still go out and be the same guy.
Mary Kay, take it. The draft has been covered quite a bit, but also something big happened this past week, the first voluntary minicamp for the team. We've really gotten a sense from the players that things seem different this year, that there's a different buy-in, there's a different vibe around this place. What was your sense in talking to them after this voluntary minicamp?
Well, you know what? I have to say that I do hear that every time a new coach comes in.
For sure.
So I heard that last year when Chud was here. There was a new vibe and new energy, and everything was new and wonderful. I heard it when Pat Shurmur came in. I hear it every single time a coach comes in. So as far as, you know, for my money now, until I see it translate into victories, all of that talk, you know, doesn't mean all that much to me. I think the only good sign in this case about the whole situation is that players were really upset when Chud was fired after only 1 year. And the fact that these guys have kind of gotten over it so quickly, I think that's very good. I think what's helped is that Mike Pettine is, you know, he's just got a good way about him. He's a personable guy, and, you know, he just, you know, he's engaging, and I think he's captured these players' attention so far. I think they seem to like Kyle Shanahan. So, you know what, I'm not sensing a lot of, you know, tail between the legs, guys hanging their heads that, oh, here we go again type of thing. I don't get that at all.
And Mary Kay had a few transactions yesterday, but a couple that stood out. Vince Young, Tyler Thigpen being signed. as quarterbacks, and just how do you see that in any possible way impacting the dynamic of what this team would do with the quarterback position, or even if they draft a quarterback, how do you see either Young or Thigpen factoring into what's going on with this team going forward?
Well, I think it gives them some options now. They are set at their third quarterback. They know they have one on the roster if they need him. Having said that, I think there are still a lot of things that could happen between now and the start of the season in terms of the quarterback room. We know that they're going to draft a rookie quarterback, and we're fairly certain that Brian Hoyer is going to be in there competing with that rookie. And then also, I keep bringing this up and probably making it seem like I have some inside knowledge on this when I don't. It's not anybody's telling me this. I just keep looking over there at the Washington Redskins, and I keep seeing Kirk Cousins, knowing that Kyle Shanahan really likes him and that he is available in a trade. So I still have him on my back burner for trade weekend, just to see if they might try to do anything there. But, you know, the quarterback room can change, but it could also turn out to be Brian, the rookie, and a Vince. I would almost seem to think that it would be a Vince ahead of a Tyler Thigpen, because of the experience and what he can bring in terms of, you know, hey, I've won 31 games. But, you know, now they know that they're set with the sort of mentor-type guy if they need it.
Absolutely. And you brought up Kirk Cousins, an interesting one there to me. What do you think the price tag would be to go after Kirk Cousins? Because I've heard Mel Kiper suggest that pick 35 would be the ammunition. And in my mind, that is an absurdly high price to pay for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I don't think, because it's such a high second-round pick, I don't know that you would necessarily want to do that. You know, this draft is deep enough that you can get really almost a first-round talent at number 35.
For
I really
sure.
think that you can, especially if you're looking at, like, the cornerback position, which they really need a cornerback, they really need another receiver. So I don't know if you necessarily would want to do that, but you know, they have other ammunition in the form of extra draft picks in some rounds and 10 overall. So, yeah, I don't think I would go number 35, but, you know, they may be able to package a few other things.
Mary Kay, thank you so much for the knowledge, and always enjoy talking with you.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great weekend. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She came to us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty at OBM that it provides to its customers. With OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town.
Only one.
So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble, Nathan, never, to keep your office running. Now the official copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. I know you want that office of yours, Nathan, running like a finely tuned machine.
Of course you do. That's the way it's got to be, and OBM can help make it so.
All right, coming up. At CBD, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We've got so much more for you. We are going to, of course, do what we like to do on Fridays, and that is get into some fact and fiction. That'll be coming up this hour. And more of your calls, 216-578-0850. Dial in with your thoughts. I know you've been calling us throughout the show. And tweet us. We like your tweets at Browns_Daily. Stick around.